Blog Talk Radio.
For those disappointed in Amari Cooper's recent performance on Family Feud, you can bet he'll make amends during the 2016 NFL season. You have found the AFC West preview edition of the Fantasy Flex. And welcome to another edition of the Fantasy Flex. I am Nate, over on Twitter, at Miller_RotoDad. Where can the people find you, Mr. Brad Wallace?
They can find me at UGA Good on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Well, before we get going with some AFC West projections, let me give you all some info on the all-new FanUp Network app. The guys over there have created a fantasy football resource that not only tracks teams and scores across multiple platforms, but also provides the latest player updates and injury news, all while saving you time. The app can be found for Google and Apple devices by simply searching keyword FANUP. That's FANUP. Brad, are you ready to flex on the AFC West?
It's Tuesday afternoon. What is there better to do?
Midweek blues. All right, Amari Cooper talked about that recent performance on Family Feud. Brad, tell us about what you are projecting for his performance in the 2016 NFL season.
I think he's poised for a breakout after totaling 1,070 yards and 6 touchdowns last season on 72 receptions. I think he's going to have bigger numbers than that this year for sure. I'm thinking right around the 1,200 receiving yard mark and adding in eight touchdowns. So he comes in at number 18 in my wide receiver rankings. He's definitely got top 10 potential, and he could be a stud this year.
Yeah, rising star in Oakland there for that passing game. I'm big on a certain young quarterback, so I'm definitely big on Cooper, who I think will once again lead the Raiders in receiving yards. The 1,070 he put up as a rookie last year was the most by any Raider since 2002. Brad, do you have any clue who that was?
Jerry Rice.
Of course.
The GOAT.
Jerry Rice, known for being a Raider, right?
Oh yeah, totally. That's exactly what he's known for.
All right. Well, let's talk about another former San Francisco 49er. Moved on to Oakland last year and led that team in receptions with 85. Michael Crabtree, also catching 9 touchdowns. Is he a viable starting wide receiver in standard formats this year, Brad?
Yeah, I think he's still going to be startable this year. I think his numbers do take a little dip from last year as Amari Cooper steps into that number one predominant wide receiver role. So he tied a career high in receptions last year with 85 for 922 yards and 9 touchdowns. I think a little touchdown regression is coming for Cooper. For Crabtree as Cooper becomes that number one. So Michael Crabtree comes in at number 33 in my wide receiver rankings, so he's still going to be have fantasy value as a starter, but I don't think he's going to have quite as good a season as he had last year.
So he's a fringy number 3 for you in a standard league playing 3 starting wide receivers. The tight end position there in Oakland's been a little bit up in arms since Derek Carr came to town, and even a little bit before that. Michael Rivera, people kind of expected a bit from him the last couple years, hasn't really come to fruition. They did draft Clive Walford out of the University of Miami in the 3rd round of last year's draft, and he wasn't really much of a factor in the first like 2/3 of the season, but the last 5 games he got 26 targets compared to just 24 total over the first 11 games. Brad, is Wofford going to emerge as their third receiving option, and where does he stack up with other tight ends around the league?
He may not be that third receiving option, but I think he does have some upside and some sleeper potential at the tight end position. He only had two career starts
Well, the rookie.
And he's like you said, going along with the first 11 games only having 24 total targets, that increase in starts correlated to finish last season. And I believe him and Derek Carr developed a little bit of a chemistry towards the end of the season. So a lot of people are talking about Clive Walford. I think he's got potential. I have him outside my top 20 at tight end rankings right now. He comes in at number 22. So I'm not as high on him as other people. I guess I just want to see Oakland utilize the tight end. And I feel like the last couple years, no matter who it be that we're talking about at the tight end position, Rivera or, you know, Walford, anybody, there's been a lot of hype and not a lot of numbers to back it. So I guess I want to see them utilize the tight end more before I'm sold on Clive Walford.
Yeah, and Oakland's made a habit out of throwing to some pretty talented receivers out of the backfield the last couple of years. Marcel Reese is always good for quite a few targets, hauls in a lot of them. But the number one running back there in Oakland, Latavius Murray, piled up almost 1,300 total yards last season, 1,066 on the ground and 232 through the air. But he did only average 4 yards per carry. Where do you got Murray on your running back rankings, Brad?
Yeah, that 4 yards per carry, you know, was a decrease from 5.2 the year before in 2014. So definitely was less efficient on his carries, and he had 266 of those last year for just over 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns. So he's involved in the passing game. I mean, he had 41 receptions for 232 yards last year. I don't think the management in Oakland is fond of Murray. And I'm not sold on him. You know, that decrease in efficiency, yards per carry, doesn't really bode well, at least for his prospects for this season. I've got him projected at about 800 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns and maybe adding in another 200 receiving yards. And I think a big reason might be that, you know, rookie DeAndre Washington. So I'm kind of down on Murray.
Yeah, the buzz starting to swirl around Washington, and if you're that down on Murray, which I think this guy's going to flirt with 1,000 yards again, but I'm not going to disagree too much. I'm not big on him. I see him as probably right in the middle of those RB2s in standard leagues. Is that kind of what you see?
Yeah, I have him at 23, so yeah, he's a low-end RB2, but at the same time, I could see him dropping much easier than him, you know, bust breaking into the top 15.
Yeah, and you mentioned Washington, and if Murray does start tailing off, is Washington, DeAndre Washington, the rookie out of Texas Tech, a huge year for the Red Raiders last year. Is he just going to be a handcuff and a third down guy, or could he possibly emerge into even more?
Yeah, if Murray doesn't pan out or gets hurt, DeAndre Washington's value is going to, you know, take a huge uptick with a healthy Murray. And if they're still giving him the, you know, first and second down work, yeah, DeAndre Washington is just that handcuff third down PPR type guy. But I think, you know, Murray may start the season as the number one, but I think towards the middle and end of the season, you're going to see DeAndre Washington emerge kind of the same way maybe a David Johnson did last year. Maybe not as big a numbers, but I mean, with that kind of potential. Like you said, he's fifth round pick out of Texas Tech. He's 5'8", 204, ran a 4.49 40. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Brandon Oliver. And he had 124 receptions in college, which is more than the 108 receptions Murray has in college and NFL combined. I think he's definitely the more capable pass catcher. And the Raiders GM, Reggie McKenzie, definitely thinks that he's a complete back more so than just a third down back. So I think Washington has real upside potential.
Yeah, I'm with you. We are both big on Washington, and if you, especially if you draft Murray in those standard non-PPR leagues, that's your handcuff. And in PPR, I think Washington may have some value anyway. But on to the guy who runs that offense in Oakland. I alluded to him earlier, Derek Carr. Is he going to take another step forward, Brad? I think he's got top eight QB potential, maybe even higher this year. How do you see Derek Carr?
I'm definitely not as high on Derek Carr as you are. He's inside my top 15 at QB. He was just shy of 4,000 yards in last season, so and he threw 32 touchdowns and only 13 interceptions. So you like the numbers, you like the fantasy production. I do think he's going to have a very good season, probably around the 400-300 yard passing mark. And I think he's going to throw about 34 touchdowns. So, yeah, he's definitely got top 10 potential. But as of right now, coming into the preseason, he's number 15 in my quarterback rankings.
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely a little bit higher. I could see him at 15. I could see him in the top five. There's a wide range on him. One way or the other, I do see him as a starter in most fantasy football leagues. I want to reference a Twitter poll I sent out at our account at Fantasy Flex Pod earlier this week. It was about AFC West QBs. Now, we had 80 votes on this poll. Alex Smith from Kansas City did rack up a whopping three of them, but the Philip Rivers from San Diego in edging out Derek Carr 39-38. These guys are very close. Brad, what's your take on that? Do you see them as very close, or do you lean heavily one way or the other between Rivers and Carr?
Oh, I definitely think they are very close, and my rankings show that. I have Philip Rivers at number 14, right ahead of Derek Carr. yeah.
Not David.
No. Yeah, definitely not David. bad history with that guy in fantasy, personally.
Yeah, that is his brother, so don't come down on him too hard.
Yeah, I feel Philip Rivers slightly ahead of Derek Carr. Philip Rivers, he was second in passing yards last season, and I think 4,792. And I think that kind of a lot of people, if they're not really paying attention to the statistics from last year, that would be kind of shocking. He's also thrown at least 21 touchdowns every season that he's all 16 games. And he's played 16 games every season since 2006. And that was the year he became the starter in San Diego. He's thrown for at least 4,000 yards in each of the last, three seasons, I believe. Three of the last four seasons. And, I think Philip Rivers is going to have a really good season. I've got him projected at 4,500 passing yards and 30 touchdowns. So he's, just a notch ahead of Derek Carr for me.
Yeah. And as you said, he's second in the league in passing yards last season. Who knows? He might've led the league had his number one go-to guy in that passing game. It's not Antonio Gates anymore. It's Keenan Allen, who got injured halfway through the year. But in the first eight games, Allen averaged eight catches for 91 yards. And three of those eight games went for a dozen grabs and better than 130. Caught four total TDs, so he's not a huge red zone guy, but his volume is so high. I'm seeing Keenan Allen jumping right back into the top 15 receivers, probably even the top 10. Is he ready to reemerge after his injury?
Oh, I definitely think he is. And that's, something really to put that 4,792 yards that Philip Rivers threw in perspective. Yeah, without Keenan Allen, that injury, that wide receiver core was like injury riddled. So, if he'd had Keenan Allen, he might have thrown over 5,000 yards. Definitely, I think, had a real good chance to lead the league in passing yards for sure. I think Keenan Allen is going to have a monster bounce back season. He was on pace for 1,500 yards in the eight games he played in 2015. I've got him projected right around there, 1,400 receiving yards and 10 touchdowns for the 2016 season.
So big time year is what you see for Allen. Now, before we get into the San Diego running backs, who they do like to throw the ball to, how do you see the rest of the wide receiver tight end core playing out in specifically regarding order of options for Rivers? Tell us, Travis Benjamin, Antonio Gates, Stevie Johnson, who's going to have the most grabs between those guys? Who is that number two?
I think Travis Benjamin is going to be that number two option, with Gates coming in at the three and Stevie Johnson at the four. Travis Benjamin had 68 receptions for 966 yards and six total touchdowns last year with the Browns. So I think he's going to fit nicely into that system. And Antonio Gates, I mean, he's had a monster career. He's played in at least 10 games every season of his career, and he's only had three seasons where he played in less than 15 games. So, yeah, he's on the tail end of his career, but I think he's got one more season left in him where he'll be very useful, particularly in the red zone. He's Philip Rivers' favorite target in the red zone. So, Stevie Johnson, he hasn't played in more than 13 games since 2012, and he's only played in all 16 games three times. Stevie Johnson, for me, is more of a wide receiver four, maybe even wide receiver five. I have to see him stay healthy and string together 16 games before I, you know, can have some confidence in him. So pecking order, Benjamin Gates, then Stevie Johnson.
Okay. And you talked about Gates being near the tail end of his career. The Chargers have already drafted this year what they hope to be his replacement in the future, but we'll get into him a little bit later. Another guy who does get involved in that passing game, and he might be actually the number two option, disrupting your order there. Danny Woodhead, Brad, this little guy over 1,000 total yards in both 2014 and 2 of the last 3 years, and injured in an in-between year, averaged 88 catches for 680 yards in those two seasons, six touchdown grabs in both seasons. Does Danny Woodhead have standard league value? Is he just a PPR guy? I know he takes a huge leap in those PPR leagues. Where does Danny Woodhead fall in your running back rankings?
No, I definitely think he's an option in standard leagues. And yeah, he definitely does jack up that order of the pass catchers for sure. Before, that was purely talking about wide receivers and tight ends. Danny Woodhead might be that number two option behind Keenan Allen, if we count running backs in there as well. Yeah, he's a PPR stud. And like you said, 80 receptions for 755 yards in 2015. And he's had over 1,000 total yards in two of his last three seasons, 2014 aside, where he only played three games because of injury. I think he's the running back to own in San Diego. I think he's going to have about 900 combined yards, 300 rushing, 600 receiving, and he's going to have eight total combined touchdowns on the ground and through the air. So, yeah, Danny Woodhead, I like Danny Woodhead this year.
Well, I like to play in PPR leagues. I enjoy both formats, non-PPR and PPR. I've been big on Danny Woodhead since the New England days, and you've owned him in those two seasons in which he's played the whole year out of the last 3 years. You've been happy one way or the other. I think this is going to bring us to our first big disagreement of the day, Brad. If you think Danny Woodhead's the running back to own, I'm going to disagree. I like Woodhead, but I like Melvin Gordon even more. That's right. I'm going to go ahead and say it. He had a big bust. He disappointed me and a lot of other people last year, but I think he's going to put it together in his second year. He is dealing with some health concerns. I don't see him as a number one running back, maybe even top 20, but I think he's in that 20 to 25 range, and I like him for 2016. What say you, Brad?
Oh, I think it's clear that we definitely disagree on Melvin Gordon. he's only averaged 3.5 yards per carry last year and had no touchdowns and four fumbles on 184 carries. He's well outside my top 25. The microfracture knee surgery scares me, even though the coaches say he's 100% right now. The history of re-injury with those type of knee injuries is very high. So that scares me. But I will say this. I'll one little positive note from Melvin Gordon. His ADP right now is in the 12th round, round pick 115 in standard leagues. I think based on that ADP, Melvin Gordon could be a value pick and have some value where he's going. I think a lot of people are hating on Melvin Gordon a little too much. So if Melvin Gordon is sitting there in the 12th round, maybe or 13th round, I might even take a gamble on him because I think he's got some rebound potential. Like you said, I don't think he's a RB1 or even an RB2, but given his ADP, I think he could have some value this year.
Yeah, and you say his ADP is brings him some potential value in the 12th round. Let me tell you just how big I am on him. I'll take him in the 11th round.
Oh, that's definitely too rich for my blood, but
I think I know where you're going to go on this next one after that Melvin Gordon breakdown. But let's stick in this division and compare a couple of running back tandems. Which side of this do you fall on? Melvin Gordon and Danny Woodhead or C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman in Denver?
Well, first off, I'd probably have to say it's not C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman. It's C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker. And I definitely go in the Broncos' favor on that. C.J. Anderson, I think, is going to have a pretty solid season. He rounds out my top 15 at running back right now. Denver brought back the fullback into their offense. I think that's clear this year. They're going to run the ball this year. They're going to have to as their quarterback situation. C.J. Anderson averaged 4.7 yards per carry in both 2014 and 2015. He just had less carries in 2015. He had 179 carries in 2014 and only 152 in 2015. So less yards and touchdowns resulted from the decrease in carries. I think if he can get 200-plus carries, I think he'll rush for about 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, and maybe add in another 200 receiving yards. So I think he's going to have a solid year.
Yeah, and kind of laid that one up there for Brad with Ronnie Hillman. Right now, that's who everybody's kind of looking at as the number one, number two in Denver. But I'm with you. Devontae Booker, the rookie out of Utah, he's one good offseason away from, I think, smacking Ronnie Hillman right out of that rotation and turning him into a number three back, only relevant if one of those two get injured. Devontae Booker, I'm big on him. Do you see any case in which he might even move past C.J. Anderson and become the number one by week 17 of 2016?
Oh, I definitely think Booker has a very good chance of doing that. I mean, he's definitely got a three-down skill set and has the, you know, physical attributes and ability to, you know, be that number one feature back. So, and I think C.J. Anderson has shown, you know, flashes in the past couple of years, but at the same time, he's shown where he can, you know, lay an egg. So, if C.J. Anderson does come out the gates the first, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season and struggle, especially with Denver not really knowing who their starter is going to be at quarterback and probably not expecting to have a very explosive passing game, I could see them moving away from Anderson and, you know, to a Booker and maybe even giving Hillman some carries too. I mean, Hillman showed he had 207 carries last year, you know, and was fairly productive off of those, had 863 yards and 7 touchdowns. So, yeah, if C.J. Anderson stumbles out the gate, yeah, there's a very good chance Booker could, you know, capitalize on that. So he's a good sleeper pick.
Anderson will always have a place in my heart. A Monday Night Football performance from him back in December 2014 cashed me in big time in a championship round, but I'm with you. Booker, if you're looking to the future, I think Booker is clearly the guy to own in that Denver backfield. Dynasty leagues, keeper style, that's your guy. I'm really big on Devontae Booker. And you alluded to some passing QB problems the Denver offense might have, even with weapons such as Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. For Mark Sanchez or Paxton Lynch or whoever throws the ball for Denver this year, are they relevant in fantasy?
I don't think so, not in standard leagues, possibly two QB leagues and deeper leagues. safety TJ Ward of the Denver Broncos says that the competition is even right now. I think it's clear that Denver wants to run the ball, so there's not going to be a lot of value at the quarterback position, I think, at Denver this year. And Paxton Lynch is one butt fumble away from starting, so I think he's eventually going to be the starter this year in Denver. So,
how long do you think that might take?
I give Sanchez, give him 5 games. I think by week 6, Paxton Lynch will be the starter.
All right. Well, I like Lynch, you know, 26th overall pick. This guy's huge. I mean, 6'7", 245 pounds. Apparently Denver likes him big because Brock Osweiler's, I think, even bigger than that. And he moved on, kind of throwing this QB situation into turmoil anyway. He's in Houston now. But Lynch, yeah, I'm with you. He's going to be the starter sometime in probably October, at the latest November. And he's got good mobility, very strong arm. But the maturity is a question. He's a bit raw and didn't really play under center much in college at Memphis. But, you know, moving on from that quarterback situation, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas have been two fantasy studs for a couple of years now. There wasn't that great of a quarterback situation in Denver last year, and these two guys both still managed strong seasons. Are they starting wide receivers no matter what, or could the QB problems actually lead to major regressions for one or both of them?
I think the QB problems is going to definitely lead to a little bit of regression for both of them, particularly more Emmanuel Sanders than Demaryius Thomas, just because I think that Denver passing game will be good enough to sustain the number one wide receiver option for fantasy purposes. Although Demaryius Thomas scares me just a little bit. He only caught 105 of his 176 targets last year, granted for 1,304 yards, and he had 6 touchdowns. He's, you know, struggled with drops, you know, in his career in the NFL. And where he's going in drafts currently, his ADP is right around 4th round. So I think he's going to have some value where he's going in drafts. Ideally, I would like to get him in the 5th round. I don't think that's very likely, though. So more than likely, I'm going to be avoiding him in most of my leagues because I feel like somebody's probably going to reach and take him in the, you know, mid to late 3rd round just based off of name value. Yeah, I think the biggest hit fantasy-wise is going to come with Sanders, though. Like I said, I just don't think that passing attack is going to be, you know, dynamic and explosive enough to facilitate having two fantasy relevant, you know, star wide receivers. So I see Emmanuel Sanders taking the biggest hit while Demaryius Thomas is still going to be productive.
So you don't even see the Denver receivers going too deep with as fantasy starters. But who is even going to be that third option?
I mean, it's probably going to be Cody Latimer. And Latimer, unless they, you know, look to Virgil Green at tight end. I guess it'll really just depend on who's quarterback. I feel like a rookie quarterback, you know, will probably look to his tight end a little bit more. So if Lynch becomes the starter, Virgil Green will probably be that number 3 option. If Sanchez is still in there, could be a Latimer, could be one of the running backs. Just depends.
Yeah.
I could see here's Mark Sanchez checking the ball down a lot. So,
yeah, here's a bold projection for you. How about Devontae Booker as their third leading receiver?
I could see it happening. I really could. I really wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, and we got one more team to talk about in the AFC West. They definitely like to throw to running backs. But I think over in Kansas City, Jeremy Maclin and Travis Kelce are clearly the number one and number two for.
Oh yeah, it's clear. They're definitely the number one and number two options there. Maclin is coming off of back-to-back 85-plus reception, 1,000-yard seasons, and he's had at least 7 touchdowns in each of the last 3 seasons. I think Macklin's going to have about 1,100 receiving yards and 9 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, the last two seasons, he's averaged just under 70 receptions for at least 860 yards in each season. He caught five touchdowns in both 2014 and 2015. He's been kind of frustrating to me, and it's frustrating that Kansas City doesn't really throw the ball more his way. He's had some ball security issues, though. He has six career fumbles, of which he lost five. I think, though, Baby Gronk is probably in line for similar numbers, so I've got him projected at 900 receiving yards and six touchdowns.
All right. You'd say Baby Gronk. Let me tell you something about babies. The Roto Dad has a baby named Macklin. So, it's spelled a little bit different, but yeah. I'm big on Jerry Macklin. I always end up with shares of him. People just seem to sleep on him. He's in that Andy Reid offense. They're going to throw to somebody. As you said, he hauled in almost 90 grabs, almost 1,100 yards last year. I see similar numbers for him. He's remained healthy the last 2 years after losing a season. So, yeah, that's my take. I'm big on Macklin and Travis Kelce. Yeah, he's a clear top half dozen tight end to me at least. But same as in Denver. Who's the number three for Kansas City? I tend to lean toward Albert Wilson, but what do you say?
If we're talking about purely wide receivers, Albert Wilson will be that number three. As much as I hate it, because I really, you know, my Georgia boy, Chris Conley, I was hoping that he would step up and, you know, be a little more productive, but it's not looking that way. It's trending definitely towards Albert Wilson being that number three wide receiver option. But realistically, I mean, Alex Smith likes to throw the ball to the running back, whether it be Jamal Charles, Charkendrick West, even Spencer Ware, and obviously DeAnthony Thomas on third down for third down work. So I definitely think the running back position, maybe as a whole, will be that number three option behind a Macklin and a Travis Kelce.
Yeah, and speaking of Alex Smith, where does he rank up among NFL quarterbacks to you? I'm always a little higher on him than most because I just love that efficiency and fundamentally sound, but there's nothing special about him. He's not going to explode in those huge games. Can he make three wide receiver / tight end viable?
I think so. I mean, he very deceptively was a top 15 fantasy quarterback in 2015.
Most people, when they hear
yes. Most people, when they hear the name Alex Smith, they don't, you know, really associate that with, you know, fantasy production. But yeah, those rushing yards, man, they boost his fantasy value big time. I think he's going to throw for about 3,500 passing yards, maybe 22 touchdowns, and he's going to add in, though, about 400 rushing yards. So I've got him rounding out my top 25 at number 25, but I think he definitely has top 20 and potential to be back in the top 15 like last season if you know, that holds true and he keeps his interceptions low. So
yeah, and I mean, Smith's not really, like you said, he's in that top 15 and he sneaks up on people. But yeah, I think he can do it again. He's probably going to end up on somebody's bench or the waiver wire. And I'm always higher on that, so I end up on him at some point most seasons. Let's move on to the guy everybody wants to talk about in Kansas City, though. Coming off his second ACL injury, Jamal Charles. I've seen some off-season workout video of him. This guy's looking strong. He's a physical freak. Nearing his 30th birthday, he's 29. He's going to play most of the season at 29. But two ACL injuries. I mean, is he ready to take his spot back among the top running backs in the league?
I don't know if he's going to be back among the top running backs. I think he may have, you know, a productive season. I have him outside my 10 at running back at number 12. He tore his ACL in week 5 of 2015. That was his second ACL tear. I think he could see less touches in the offense, and he may see carries to West and Ware. He's only played in less than 15 games twice in his career, both of those ACL tears. He was averaging just under 18 fantasy points per game through four games in 2015. He's going around pick 19, so late second round. I think there's real value there if he can stay healthy. If he falls to the third, I will definitely be taking Jamal Charles. I expect around, you know, 1,200 total yards and 7 touchdowns. So probably 1,000 of those, you know, on the ground maybe, and then adding in another 200 receiving. So I think he's poised for a surefire top 15 running back season with the potential to, you know, be in that top 10 and get back closer to a top 5 fantasy back. But the productive backs that are behind him in Charkandic West and Spencer Ware scare me a little bit. And as Jamaal Charles approaches that, you know, 30-year mark, I think he may lose a few carries to them, and that may, you know, take a hit on his fantasy value.
All right. No, it was definitely a loaded backfield. We saw that in last year after Charles's injury. Brad, tell us the highest pick you might take Jamaal Charles with.
Well, like I said, if it's in the third round, I'm definitely taking him. But late second, maybe mid second is about the highest I would take, and it would really just depend who's there. Obviously, if you know Eddie Lacy, Mark Ingram, Thomas Rawls, Doug Martin are all gone, and I'm really wanting a running back at that spot after taking a wide receiver in the first round, I might look at Jamaal Charles. I have LeSean McCoy behind him and Matt Forte. I might think about taking one of those instead of Charles, but probably not. So, yeah, mid second round is probably the highest that I'll take, Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, and if you're in a league with me, Brad, you ain't getting him. I definitely take him inside the top 20 picks, probably the top 15 if he falls to me, depending how the draft plays out. But, yeah, I'm definitely on him as a top – that's a 20 at the lowest overall player, not just at running back. But we'll move right on into our segment where we really dig deep on some fantasy value.
Flex on or flex off.
All right. This is my favorite time of the show is because I like to dig into those deep players. You mentioned DeAnthony Thomas in Kansas City, Brad. Flex on or flex off?
In the standard, I still have to say flex off. PPR, I think he's got some flex consideration, but we're talking strictly standard, flex off.
All right, back out to Oakland with that rookie we talked about. I think I know where you're going here, but DeAndre Washington.
Flex on.
Yeah, most definitely after that glowing review we gave of him earlier. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
San Diego getting ready to possibly replace Antonio Gates in the next couple of years, maybe rookie out of Arkansas, Hunter Henry.
Hunter Henry, 6'5", 250, second-round pick out of Arkansas. Shout-out to Les Miles. He had 51 catches and no drops last season. Great hands, flex on.
Okay, and out to Denver with a back, possibly going to emerge as the third wide receiver out there behind Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, Cody Latimer.
Flex off. That Denver passing game is not going to be able to facilitate having three fantasy-relevant wide receivers.
Okay, that'll about wrap things up for our AFC West preview. As always, please be sure to hit us up with any comments, criticisms, or questions on Twitter at FantasyFlexPod. Also, you can now check out Fantasy Flex at your convenience on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, or our main feed at Blog Talk Radio. Until next time when we size up the AFC West, I'm Nate. That's Brad.
Flex on the play.